Matthew chapter 27. As we talked in Sunday school, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John showed Jesus Christ in a different light. Matthew shows him primarily as king. Mark shows him primarily as a servant, son of God, doing all these miracles. And Luke shows him primarily as man or son of man, showing his flesh lineage back to Adam, where Christ in Matthew goes back to David as king because he's shown as king. And then John most obviously shows him as God. All the books show him as all those things, but the primary focuses are different. And I was thinking about this. I didn't mention this in Sunday school, but I'll mention it now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being written from 37 A.D. all the way up to like 90 A.D. You say, well, that's amazing. Well, John was on the Isle of Patmos at that time. He had some time. He had some time to get with the Lord, and he was really walking with the Lord. But also, like we talked about, those books being written over time was showing a progression of exposing who God is as Jesus Christ, showing him as king, which they rejected, and servant, which shows him as the type of the Gentile, as he made himself nobody. He humbled himself. He didn't raise himself up to a level like the Pharisees tried to raise themselves up. Then we see him as son of man, back to Adam, which shows him as the last Adam, which corrects all the mess of the first Adam. Pays the price for it. And then we see him as God. But think about this too. If everybody would have wrote the whole Bible in a week, they all wrote it the same year. And then, it's over. Then people would forget things. People would say, it wasn't a big deal. It was a flash in the pan. But 90 years after his birth, approximately, John is still willing to die for him. He doesn't end up being murdered for him, martyred for him that way, but he's willing to go through all kinds of torture and be sent exiled to an island and still love the Lord and still be bragging on the Lord, 60-some years after the crucifixion? That has some meat to it, amen? That shows you that these guys were serious. They could have just said, he's gone. You know, kind of like people do when they leave church. It's gone, let's go. Forget about it. John didn't do that. His whole life was still Christ. 60-some years later on the Isle of Patmos, when he gets the book of Revelation and God shows him all those things. See, there's another reason I believe God didn't just give it to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on Friday the 12th at 6 p.m. or, you know, and have them all write at the same time. He just exposed a little more of his person, a little more of his attributes, a little more focus on who he is. And he did it over time. And that interest kept carrying through these Jewish writers. But like we talked about before, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in just case you weren't here when we talked about that this morning, it talks about the height, the depth, the breadth, and width, the four dimensions of God's love, and then you have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which shows four different focuses on Christ as God. Amazing. Amazing. No way God didn't write every word in that book. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Matthew 27. Well, I don't know if I've got enough voice left to read all this. We'll see what happens. We're going to start in verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I had suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. That haunts them today, amen. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when he had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. So here we are, we see first of all, he was falsely accused. Falsely accused. You ever been falsely accused? You ever heard somebody say, well, you're just getting it for something else you got away with? Probably told your kids that at one time or another. I didn't do it. Billy did it. Well, you're getting it for when Billy got it and you didn't, amen. But Jesus Christ, you couldn't say that with Jesus Christ because he didn't earn any of that. He was falsely accused. And matter of fact, Pilate knows it. Pilate's wife. Isn't it interesting that the Lord talks to Pilate's wife because he knows she has some sway over Pilate? And Pilate probably wouldn't have listened to the Lord because he's the Lord to him. But he'd listen to his wife. And his wife said, had nothing to do with this innocent man. Give him a warning. Falsely accused. Look at verse 15. Now at the feast, the governors want to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noticeable prisoner called Barabbas. And he go down through here and they say, Who shall we release, Barabbas or Jesus? And they cried out, Jesus, let him be crucified. He was falsely accused and he was flatly rejected. They could have taken Jesus and said, You know what, release him. That's enough. We were wrong, he's right. But he was falsely accused, and when Pilate tried to set him free, the Jews flatly rejected him. They had rejected him before. The religious folks, their desire was to kill the truth, to kill Jesus. And that's what religion is today. You know what religion is trying to do? Kill the truth. To get rid of Jesus. So, well, they can't get rid of him completely because history proves that Jesus Christ existed. History proves that Jesus Christ was died on the cross. History proved that he was seen of over all these witnesses. And the fact that the Bible, being a historic book, shows all these men that years after his death were willing to die for him shows you it wasn't a hoax. If it was all a hoax, they wouldn't have been beheaded and boiled in oil and crucified upside down and exiled to Ireland. They wouldn't have done that. Most people wouldn't do that for the truth, let alone a lie. They did it. He was flatly rejected. I can't tell you how many times he's been flatly rejected. If you witness, you should witness a lot so you'd be amazed at what people tell you. If your amazer's broke, start witnessing. People will amaze you again. I mean, I remember a kid with a skateboard spitting in my face when I was preaching on the street saying, who are you to tell me about? Who are you? I'm nobody, just a voice in the wilderness. I remember talking to a man, an elderly man, in the parking lot of Kroger. And I witnessed to him about the Lord and talked to him about God. And he said, I don't believe in God. He goes, I've lived 70-some years. I gave it 74, 78 years. I've lived 78 years and I never needed God. I said, you're about one step from an eternal fire. You're about one step. You're 74, 76, whatever it was. You're about one step from hell and you don't think you need God? Then he started showing me his vocabulary as he walked off. Amen. I remember witnessing to a prison guard. And I remember him saying, oh, I know I'm going. I said, where are you going? What are you trusting in? He said, my good works. I never had anybody come out right out and say it. Most of them intimate it. They go, well, I've tried to do pretty good. I keep the golden rule. Oh, where's that in the Bible? Show me the golden rule. Recite it for me. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, name four of them. Amen. I do this. I do that. I do this. I've done the other. I'm not as bad as most people. But this guy didn't say all that. He just said, my good works. I said, what about Ephesians 2:8-9? It says, for by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, oh, it's grace too. You see, his heart and his mind have been blinded to the truth by pride. Isn't that something? Somebody's pride will send them to hell when you're giving them the truth. They can't process it and get it to their heart. Just flatly rejected. I was talking to a couple the other day. Nice folks. Super nice folks. I mean, you'd want to invite them over for a picnic. Just meet them and you're like, these are good people. You know, as far as people go, these are all right. And we talked and talked and, you know, and I witnessed to them and they looked like they swallowed a frog whole, you know. I was like, and they weren't interested in talking anymore. Flatly rejected. They weren't rude about it. They just, you could tell they didn't want to talk about it. But give them a tract, they took the tract and they left. How many times, like, I don't know if you ever hand out tracts much, but when you hand out tracts and somebody starts doing origami with it, you know they don't want to talk about it. It's making them uncomfortable. It's making them upset. They're furious or whatever. Hand somebody a tract, start talking about the Lord, and they're like, oh, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, uh-huh, I hear you. I got you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it gets about the size of a stamp, and they stick it in their pocket. Flatly rejected. No, they don't want to be offensive to me, so sometimes they'll just go along with it and fold the track up. You ever had people do that? You just talk to them, they put up with you. Amen? But they don't really care about the Lord. They don't need God in their mind. Just flatly rejected. Could you imagine that? Having 50, 60, 70 times in your life, you live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, and having all those times that somebody tells you that you need Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you flatly reject them, and you're standing at the white throne judgment and you give your case and God flatly rejects your case and casts you in the lake of fire. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be tragic. I still remember that. I said that man, I'm 70-some years old, I never needed God. He needed him then. And he wished, if he's gone now, he's going to wish he realized it then. Flatly rejected. Look at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Fully humiliated. I mean, think about that. You and I would be humiliated if they'd done that. But you're talking about God. You're talking about God Almighty, God the Son, that is worthy of being the grandest apparel that you could never even imagine. And they strip him naked and throw a man-made robe on him and say, there you go, King. Fully humiliated. He knew that was going to happen. He expected it to happen. And he stepped down from heaven and did that because he loved us. Verse 29, it says, when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed, smote him on the head, foolishly mocked him. Now, flatly rejected is one thing, but have you ever had somebody just foolishly mock the Lord when you talk about him? I mean, oh, that Jesus stuff, oh, good night. I've heard that all my life, and Jesus this and Jesus that, and I just, oh, yeah, you believe some man died and come back from the grave, and I'm like, you believe everything come from nothing and turned into this. Who's the fool? Oh, you believe that Jesus stuff, all that religion. A lot of times I'll cut their argument off at the knees at the beginning. If the Lord gives me the wisdom to do it, I'll just say, you know what? I'm with you on religion. Religion makes me sick to my stomach. Because it's not about money. It's not about a building. It's not about good works. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died, was buried, and rose again, and he did it because he loved you. And if you accept him, you go to heaven. If you reject him, you go to hell. Then they can get off that Joel Osteen and all that other stuff and get focused on Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, you pastor a church. Well, I've been accused of it. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job, but I've been accused of it. Well, what? Oh, you know, where's that and all this? Yeah, okay. We might come visit sometime. Are you saved? Oh, we might come visit sometime. I'm not asking. You don't have to go to church. You have to go to Jesus Christ. I figure that'll shock them a little bit. So I'm not like, bring your wallet and show up Sunday. We'll pass the plate five times. Amen? I'm like, look, you don't even come to church. I don't care. Trust Christ. And then find a church God wants you to be in. Amen? If half of the people that told you and I they would be here next Sunday showed up, half. If half the people that said that in the last 5 years, we'd have to build 4 church buildings. How many people showed up? You know how it is. Is that discouraging? No. It's encouraging because I know we're in the last days and most people won't want anything to do with it. Now, if you tell them, hey, you won't believe it, next Sunday we're going to have the 70s rock band in church, and then we're going to have coffee, and you can smoke what you want, drink what you want, bring what you want, wear what you want. Boy, they just show up. We'd have a locked door, wouldn't let them in then, but wouldn't they? I mean, you'd probably be getting about 70% then. Now you're like 0.04 or something. But you know why? Because they flatly reject Jesus Christ, even though he's fully humiliated for them and did it for them, and they fully mock him. Even if they don't do it with their lips, they do it in their heart. I don't need him. The saddest part would be when a born-again believer is walking their life without him. I'm not talking about he's not there because he'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm talking about without guidance from him. I was talking to a guy yesterday. Sell these big farm stands with wheels on them. He bought one of them. He come over and he's looking at it, picking it up for his wife. Well, this one didn't have wheels. This is a medium-sized one. Anyway, we're talking talking about church and stuff. Oh, my dad's a pastor and all this, you know. And he goes, he pastored for many years. He goes, boy, the church people, though. And I said, they give him so much trouble. I said, yeah, they call those deacons. He said, that's the ones. It was the deacons. I said, yeah, we don't have any of those. You know? We don't have any of those. We might get one of these days, but I don't know. We're probably good. But he just went on about, you know, I need all my dad. I give him a tract telling about the Lord. He goes, yeah, I believe that. My dad, even though he don't pastor anymore, he still tells me all the time, you need to get back. You need to get right with the Lord and all this stuff. And I said, you know the thing about church is? I see the reason there's so many problems in church. And it's not because there's a Baptist church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, a Lutheran church, Church of God, Church of Christ, Assembly of God, Pentecostal this, Charismatic that, Community this. It's not because of that. All those churches exist because people don't read their Bible. People don't read their Bible. If you read your Bible, you find out you're the problem. Amen. That's what I find out when I read it. I'm the problem. Don't tell Lori, but sometimes I get mad at her. I find out I'm the problem. I only get mad at her a couple times a year. It only lasts 6 months at a time. So no, but I find out I'm the problem. You ever just be upset about something? You read the Bible and go, good night, I'm part of that. That's parts of me. Or it's all me. Or the only part that I can deal with is all me. But people don't read their Bible. You know what the book will do? It'll put you in your place. Amen. You know why preachers walk around thinking they're Jesus Christ on earth? They don't read their Bible. They study it and they come up with messages, but they don't get convicted by it. They think, well, my job is to feed him, not to eat from it. And they end up doing this, you know, well, I'm Mr. Dr. So-and-so, and I teach and I preach, and I'm a wanted man. They want me in every church around the world to preach and talk. And I'm at my church very little because I'm in such demand, and I just go back and fleece my sheep every once in a while and leave them bleeding in the eye. Because they don't read their Bible. Because they become religious. Because if you're saved and you're not walking in a relationship, you're religious. And if you're saved and you're not reading your Bible, when things go wrong, it's everybody else's fault. Amen. I mean, I could put Dr. Phil out of business in 5 minutes with three words. Read your Bible. Okay, get saved and then read your Bible to the whole world. If the whole world got saved, read their Bible, would read the Bible, 90% of the problem's gone. Amen. Jesus Christ, he's falsely accused, he's flatly rejected, fully humiliated, foolishly mocked. In verse number 50, if you jump over to verse number 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He was fatally punished. But he was fatally punished for our sins. Isn't that something? He was fatally, God himself, fatally punished for our sins. He was innocent. He is innocent. That's right. Amen. Somebody give an amen back here. He was fatally punished. Say, well, we don't think he really died on the cross. He died on the cross. He was beaten, ridiculed, mocked, his beard ripped out, a crown of thorns driven in his head, hung on the cross, stabbed in the side, dead, put in the grave, and he come back out with victory over death, hell, and the grave because he is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus can't do that. The Catholic Jesus can't even get off their cross, amen? He's still stuck up there. Our Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. So what do you mean, our Jesus? I mean the Bible warns against following another spirit and another Jesus, and most of the world's following the wrong Jesus. Amen? At any point in time, there are people all over the world that think they're Jesus Christ, and people following them. Isn't that weird? And then any point in time, there are people all over the world in churches following a Jesus that's the wrong one, that almost paid for their sins, that put a deposit on their good works, that might let them in. Our Jesus paid it all. It is finished. The Jesus. He was fatally punished. Look at verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. He finished his purpose. You know what his purpose was? Your sins and iniquities, Isaiah said, have separated you from God. That veil was a picture of that separation between common man and God. Only the high priest, once a year, if he got cleaned up just the way God said, could go in and present an offering for forgiveness for the people. Jesus Christ's purpose was to rent that veil down, and God ripped it from the top. His Father seen what was going on Calvary and ripped that veil from the top to the bottom. That's what the Bible says. He said, that's it. Now, man, through the blood of Christ and the finished work on Calvary, can come to me. You don't need that veil. So he'd finished his purpose. Look at more of his purpose. Look at 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. You know what else his purpose was? His purpose was to restore fellowship between man and God, the Father, to reconcile man with God, and to give life. You see what happened at his resurrection? Old Testament saints got up and walked the earth. His job was finished. You notice what it says? And came out of the graves after his resurrection. They couldn't come up before the resurrection. They couldn't come up after the cross until the resurrection. Because of that power of the resurrection, he brought back with him. And the only reason you're alive in Christ is the power of the resurrection that he brought back out of the grave. He laid his life down. I had the power to lay it down. He said, I had the power to pick it up again. He took it up again. He finished his purpose. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. His purpose wasn't just death. That was the atonement, the blood. His purpose wasn't death and burial, just death and burial. He did pay your debt in hell when he was dead. His purpose was to die, drop your sin debt off in hell, and come back out of that grave so you and I could have life. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He finished his purpose. Yeah. You know what happened when he finished his purpose and you come to him and trust him as Lord and Savior? He freed your soul. I don't care. I could care less if this is the only building of people in the world that believe you're saved and saved forever. I believe it, and I'm not going to quit believing it because God told me. God didn't say, woo, you're a new creature for now. You know what he said? You are born again. How do you be unborn again? See? Even Nicodemus couldn't figure it out. It was something he couldn't get. Do I go in the second time in the mother's womb to be unborn and be reborn? No. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's permanent on this earth as far as carnality goes. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's permanent. Those are two permanent births. You were permanently born the first time headed for death. You were permanently born the second time in life. Say, well, you just think you're better. No, I think Christ is better than everybody, and I'm in Him. He's in me. He's at the right hand of God the Father, and you would have to kill God to take my soul. Good luck. Yeah. Back to 29. I'll wrap this up here pretty quick. I know y'all are probably not hungry, but I am. 27, 29. Matthew 27, verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. A couple interesting things before we get to the main point on this verse is they mock bowing the knee. You realize one of these days, if those people that aren't saved, he is going to force them to bow the knee. They will force them. They will just, overwhelmed by his power, bow the knee. It won't be a mocking situation anymore. But back to the plated, and when they had plated a crown of thorns, I want to talk about two crowns real quick. And I know there are a lot of crowns in the Bible. I just want to talk about two real quick because I know you all are, probably your attention spans like mine. You've been asleep 20 minutes. But two crowns. God stepped down from heaven. He deserved all of the glory up there. He stepped down from that. He denied himself and took upon himself a crown of thorns. Christ denied himself and got a crown of thorns, which is represents the curse on this earth. Turn to James chapter 1 real quick. Or I'll read it. I'll find it. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Crown of life. Revelation chapter 2. Crown of life. Watch this. So why didn't know that was in there? Well, you got to read it. Amen. I didn't know it was in there either until the Lord showed me. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Now, I know this is talking, this is not directed directly to us. Some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But that be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's the same crown. Isn't that interesting? You know what he's asking you to do? He says, be faithful unto death. Even if they're going to kill you, don't quit. Don't turn on me. I'll give you a crown of life. Back over in James chapter 2, or James chapter 1, blessed is the man when he endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Jesus Christ denied himself, and the world gave him a crown of thorns. If you deny yourself, he'll give you a crown of life. Isn't that something? I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about a crown of life. He took a crown of death. Falsely accused, fully innocent. The world rewarded him for his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, with a crown of death. He denied himself for that crown. He loves you so much that if you deny yourself, he'll give you a crown of life. Isn't that interesting? He took the crown of death so you could have the crown of life. So I just don't know. The devil says, I'm done. God doesn't love me anymore. Are you kidding me? If you're his child, he loves you and he's never leave you or forsake you. He'll put a boot in your rear end if you go to the golf track too far, but he loved you so much he took a crown of death so you could have a crown of life. And not just a crown of life, but eternal life. You know what it talks about in Revelation? It talks about John, he's up there in heaven, and he's looking at these 24 and 20 elders, and you know what they're doing? They're casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. I don't know, y'all remember years and years back, some of you years and years and years and years and years, 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 no. Years back on the 4th of July when you're young and you got bottle rockets or firecrackers, snap things or something like that, and you run out and everybody else is doing it and you run out, or you drop your Kool-Aid on yours, that's no good anymore, whatever. You know, you're watching everybody else and you're like, man, this is one of these days you'll be in heaven. And if you don't deny yourself now, you're going to watch other people cast things at the feet of Jesus Christ because he's worthy, and you'll have nothing. But he gave that opportunity for you to have the crown of life because he took the crown of death. The curse of this world, man, woman, children, the earth itself, he took on him on Calvary. So you can not only live forever, but have something. And believe me, you'll get there and you'll wish you had something. Have something to say, I appreciated what you've done for me, Lord. Please, this isn't mine, this is yours. Amen? Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ.